Thank you. pass on, where would I be? If it had not been for the Lord keeping me, where would I be? Amen. So we just thank God. I wasn't really delaying. I was just giving Minister Simon a chance to practice on the drums. It's been so long since he's been on it. I figure I'd give him a little more time. Can we all say thank you, Jesus? Truly, it's a wonder. Amen. All that God is doing. And I was speaking with Bishop today. You know, he was just saying, you know, the most important thing, he was talking about some of the ministers of ministry. And he said, well, you all don't realize how blessed you are. Well, Bishop, you realize you're blessed. He said, in all your blessings, he said, stay humble. I said, if God bless you, he said, make sure you stay humble. I said, well, Bishop, truly, we have to be humble because we realize that we are what we are, not because of our own goodness, not because of our own mercy, not because of anything that we've done, but we've come this far by, and we were leaning. I said, we come this far by, and we weren't leaning on our arm. We weren't leaning on your arm. We certainly weren't leaning on our finances. Well, we weren't leaning on a lot of our finances. Not just leaning like that. Right? But we did come this far by faith, and we bless the Lord. I'm going to have y'all stand up, and I'm just going to let y'all sit down and relish in this good old heat while I stand under the lights and toast. Amen. But, you know, as I was preparing for service tonight, we're going to continue what we went over on Sunday about forgiving God. We don't ever do anything else. We can forget a whole lot of things. We can forget all we learned in school. Amen. But don't ever forget God. Sometimes we have a tendency to forget what God has brought us from. You know, and as I was preparing this song, we haven't seen this song in so many years. Amen. It's a song from early in the 20th century. And it's a popular song in the Apostolic Church, though it does not get much attention anymore. The song said, Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done. Anybody got that testimony? Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how you, no, never. Now, the songwriter got real good. He said, how can I forget? Anybody got that testimony? How can I forget what he's done for me? How good God has been. Amen. According to the scripture, the wages of sin was death. But our supreme Savior, our only God, stepped between us and death. Stepped between us and damnation. Stepped between us and hellfire. And he made a way out of the college. How can I forget? I remember so many vices and things I tried to stop and control before I got saved that I could not be. But when I went down in Jesus' name, and I didn't come up right away speaking in tongues, but when they said, you want the Holy Ghost, I went down south. If they had just said holy, I would have been all right. But when they added that ghost, down south we don't believe in no ghost. I'm just telling you how it is. Ghost down south, I'm all right with the Jesus name and the Holy. They said, that ghost? I said, no, I don't know that. What do I know my ghost for? They said, no, this ain't that kind of ghost. I said, I just stick with the Jesus name. I don't want the Holy Ghost because we don't mess with ghosts. They don't move from down south. Down south, we have more superstitions than you can line up in a row. And it was one superstitious in the roots. And so when they start messing with spirits, I know God is a spirit, but you know, they just gotta clean it up. But anyway, since I got baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost, all those things I tried to stop by myself for years and I could not control, when Jesus washed my sins away and filled me with those vices, all of them, and I ain't gonna tell you what they were, as we all stand. Because I don't like to let my wife know everything about me until the time is right. And tonight the time is not right. Amen. But God makes a way. Amen. You got some things that you've been trying to conquer or overcome for a long time. Let Jesus do it for you. The songwriter said, because he knows just what to do. Whenever you pray, let him. And Jesus will fix it. Now, I know a whole lot of us are praying, but my question is, have you let him have his way? Amen. We're going to turn to Micah chapter 6. And for the time being, we're just going to read verses 1 through 8. We're going to stay here for a while in Micah chapter 6. If we were to say Micah chapter 6 would be an addendum to Psalms 50. Or what do they call a sequel? How about just a confirmation? Amen. All the rest of that stuff is too natural. Let's be spiritual. It confirms Psalms 50. Amen. Do we all have it? Psalm 6, we'll read verses 1 through 8, and then we will come back to it. Now, our subject tonight is, how many of us have forgotten God? And then we're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 6 for a little while. Forgetting, there's a danger in forgetting God. And you know, the biggest thing that makes us forget God is when we think, we feel like we have arrived. You know, when you go through hardships, and things aren't great, you cry out to God. Isn't it amazing when those hardships become a blessing, we forget the blesser? How can we do that? The very one that blessed us, when we didn't have anything, when we get the blessing, we forget the blesser because of the completeness. Amen? All right, let's go. Verse 1 reads, hear ye now what the Lord saith. We're going to hear who saying it?
The Lord.
The Lord saith, arise, contend thou before the mountains, and let the hills hear thy voice. Hear ye, O mountain, the Lord's controversy, and ye strong foundations of the earth, for the Lord hath a controversy with his people, and he will plead with Israel. O my people, what have I done unto thee, and wherein have I wearied thee?
Testify
against thee. Oh, thank you. Testify, he said, against thee. I wonder tonight, has God wearied anyone? Has God done anything to anyone? Can you testify against him? He said, can I tell you what I did for you? When you were in bondage, when you were lost and on your way to hell, he said, let me tell you, before you start your testimony against me, God said, let me tell you what I've done for you. He said, I brought thee out of the land of, that's a represent spiritual bondage, spiritual enslavement. It represents spiritual hardships. He said, I brought thee out of the land of Egypt and redeemed thee out of the house of servants. And I sent thee before Moses, Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, consulted, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him from Shittim unto Gilgal, that ye may know God. He said, I just want you to know that God is righteous, that ye may know the righteousness of the Lord. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings and with calves the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy. May the Lord have blessed to the reading of his word in the church, said.
Word of the Lord.
And blessed be already, you may be seated. This would be another Psalms 50. Then in Psalm 50, God set us a judge. And he said, I'm going to testify against you. Right? So God is judging his people. Now, this is a similar spiritual setting. Can we say spiritual? You know, a lot of us naturally got it all together. Lord, but when we look spiritually, have we forgotten God? Amen. Verse 1 reads, hear ye now what the Lord said. Arise and contend thou before the mountains, and let the hills hear thy voice. Let's get down. Well, no, we need this because this controversy don't mean what we think for controversy. So let's read this. To hear ye, O mountain, the Lord's controversy, and ye strong foundations of the earth. For the Lord hath a controversy with his people. This word in the Hebrew for controversy means God has an indictment against his people. Now you don't indict someone unless there's enough evidence to prove that they are guilty. Right? For the Lord has an indictment against his own people. And we read in Psalms 50 how God was judging his people, and he said, I want to testify against you. Now tonight the Lord said, you know what, the testimony is over. Now I'm going to bring in indictment against you. Controversy being indictment, and he will plead. You know what? God said, you're guilty, but I still love you. And if he loves you, I'm going to still plead with him. You know, you ever have one of those circumstances when somebody is so messed up, and in your inner being, you're angry, you're furious, you're disturbed. But you said, I'm still going to plead with you because I care about you. Y'all ever had one of those situations? I know, maybe y'all don't. I'm just telling you, I am. Job puts it this way. Can we visit Job for a few minutes? Job says it this way. He said, even a dead tree at the center, he don't have to get the water, just at the center water will live again. Some of us have some dead situations, but there's still hope. God can still make a way. Job said, at the center water, a tree that is dead and dried up from the roots will live again. So the Lord is saying, even though it looks horrible, he said, I'm still going to plead. Isn't it good to have a loving God like that? That we're guilty. Amen. That we have neglected God. God said, but I'm still concerned about you. And we went on in Jeremiah chapter 2 on Sunday. We said, God was so upset. He said, therefore God me ye days without end. In other words, God said, you forgot me over and over and over again, but I still love you. And because I love you, I'm going to still plead. He said, there's a chance that God can get a nerve that can change your disposition. So he said, I'm going to still plead with Israel. All my people, he said, what have I? You know, God is, isn't God good? Even when we messed up, God still tries to reach us. He said, what have I done? Can we make that personal? God said, what have I done unto you? Well, what are we talking about? Forgetting God. He said, what have I done unto thee? He said, even better yet, he said, what have I done to weary thee? God said, I plead with you. And then in the book of Matthew, he said, come unto me, all. rest. So if you're weary, it's not from God, because God said, give me that situation. Anybody got some things? I just want some things. I don't want to tell anybody, but I got some things. I got some circumstances. I got some messed up stuff. Jesus said, just give it to me. He said, because my yoke is dust. I won't weary you. I won't let this situation wear you out. He said, because my yoke is easy and my... God said, I won't weary you. But then he asked me, he said, what have I done in your present spiritual condition to weary thee? Can we all say praise the Lord? He said, I'm going to give you a chance. He said, testify. Lord, I never want to testify against God. I never want to get in any predicament in a situation where I can bring an accusation against God. People may let me down. People may fail me. But I heard somebody say, Jesus never fails. So God is saying that I've done so much for you. He said, but the actions are not being reciprocated. God said, now I've given to you what you have not given back to me. He said, what is the issue? Or what is the situation? God said, what fault? And we did read this in Jeremiah chapter 2. He said, what fault have you found in? God said, testify this man. You know, if you just think for a little bit, when I think of the... Anybody can just think. When I think of the goodness of Jesus, and not just a little bit, and all that he's done for me, anybody got down in their sanctified soul that can cry out, hallelujah, and I thank God for
the world.
God said, I brought you out of the world. He said, you are a
servant to sin and in bondage to the devil, the God of this world was then your God. He said, look what I've done for you. Just before you point a finger at me, God said, let me let you know what I've done. Anybody just so glad that God made a way for you out of no way? I redeemed thee out of the house of service, and I sent before thee boldness, Aaron and Miriam. He said, oh, God, you know, even in our own, God still tries to reach us. Right? Because God loves us. That's why he died for us. He created us. God knows everything that we're going through. Why do we act like he's an absentee God? Right? That God just put us in this place and then turn us, like the old saying, in God's own world and get just took a vacation. God knows what you're going through. God understands what was against you and he understands how to fix it. But the problem is not God. The problem is we are drifting. You know, the thing about drifting is you don't realize, I read of stories of people that have drowned that were great swimmers. But they got so caught in their enjoyment and pleasure while swimming. That's why I don't swim, because I have to worry about drowning. If I need to, I will swim. And if I get in a situation bad enough and I can't swim, I just give the Lord to send a great fish and help me out. Anyway, go ahead, I don't know. But people get caught up in the pleasure of swimming, and they don't realize they're drifting. Right? Because there are currents, there are undercurrents, there are things that are pulling them out until they get out so far that they can't get back. Well, that's how the devil uses our circumstances against us. He doesn't do it at once because we can see him when he's doing it. So the devil, the Bible says, is wiser than Daniel. And he does it in a very manipulative way that you don't know it until you're in danger. You know, it's sort of like, all of us know about the frog, right? And now, if you take a frog, I hope y'all ain't no frogs. This is somebody say, I ain't a frog. I was so glad my wife ain't in it. She didn't say, what? That's right. But if you take a frog and throw a frog in hot water, it'll jump out. But if you can take the same frog and you put him in water and you turn the temperature up slowly so he cannot detect it, that same frog that would jump out of a hot situation would stay there until he boiled to death. Because he keeps adjusting to his environment. Right? So instead of it being a stark reality that there's something wrong, he just stays in that situation. I wonder how many frogs spiritually do we have in church? The devil, hey, what are you speaking here from? I was just talking about you. Right. It's time, let's get straight down to it right now. I just have to make y'all smile. And sometimes when I talk to Bishop, he said, man, you are a mess. Right, but I wonder how many false spirits do we have? Seriously, on the spiritual side, we know a situation is really bad for us. But the devil has been just slowly, surely manipulating us until we wind up in such a bad situation that we are at the point of death because it didn't happen all at once. Well, that's the devil's tactic. He said, you know what? I'm going to get you out of church. I'm going to get you out of the will of God. I'm going to make you forget God. Well, how are you going to do it? I'm going to do it like I did Job. Right? One thing couldn't break Job. So after Job went through calamity after calamity and everything went wrong, God said, hey, you see, he's still standing. Anybody know he's still standing? But the devil's never convinced that you're going to stand the test. So he said, let me give them one more thing. You know, I already got a lean a little bit, but when I hit them with this one more thing, that frog is going to boil to death because they won't get out of a bad situation. So the devil has you all wrapped up in your situation, in your circumstances, and he's just turning up the heat, and you don't even realize it. And instead of saying, wait a minute,
tries to reach us right now. Don't be a frog. Can you look at somebody and say, don't be a frog? Don't be a frog. Because you need to change where you presently are. The devil is sending you. Somebody says, man, I just can't believe it. You know, how many real people we have in church? Sometimes you say, man, I just can't believe it. Seems like we were on our way and all of a sudden we get hit with something else. We get hit with a storm out of nowhere. I was all on the wrong side. Where did this come from? He's turning up the heat. Right? Because he's trying to get you to distance yourself from God. And then after everything goes wrong and you don't want to talk to nobody, you don't want to look at nobody, you don't even want to come out the house, devil's like, yeah, I got them there. You know why? Because they haven't drawn back to God, they're getting away from God. And even though God is pleading and trying to pull you back in, and God ever remind you of some things that he's done for you in the past?
Yes.
And God keeps saying, listen, I'm God. Don't you remember the time? You can feel in your own the time. Don't you remember the time when everything was against you and I made a way for you? I'm still God because I changed God. I'm the same today. I'm the same yesterday. And for reason I changed, I'm still that same God that can deliver you out of that situation. So why are you drifting from me? After all that God has done, how can I treat God like this? You know, sometimes it's hard to understand God in an anthropomorphism. That's your word. Anthropomorphism. Somebody said, what's that? I ain't going to tell you. Look it up. No, anthropomorphism. I'm going to throw up there. But Anthro deals with mankind, right? So that's giving God human traits. Anthropomorphism. We know God don't have eyes to see our hands, right? But it gives a spirit some human traits. Well, God loves us so much that he just keeps reaching out to us. Even when we're mad at him and he hasn't done anything. There's a scripture in the Bible. Let me tell you this scripture, right? Let's see. The Bible said, come and let us do what? Reason. Not apart, but what? Together. The Bible says concerning God, God cannot be tempted with evil. There is no evilness in God. Do we have that? God can't be tempted with evil. Neither will God tempt man with evil. So if there's a whole lot of stuff going wrong, it ain't God. It ain't God. Somebody said, why? God's not doing that. Even Job, when he got mad at God, and God began to deal with Job, Job fell on my hand. Do like this. You have to like this. That's praise the Lord, right? So when you praise the Lord, cover it up. Job's out with my hand on my mouth. Because when I think of all that God has done, things are too wonderful for me that I know not. It's time for us to stop accusing God. And if somebody, is that God right or wrong? Alright, it's right. Alright, let's keep going anyway. So God is telling all he's done for his people. Let's get down to verse 6. Now he tells them all that he's done, how he's delivered them. He said, now, you think you are serving me because of your ceremonial, external things that you're doing. So he said, verse 6, he said, where shall I come? How you gonna present yourselves before God? You know, we read it in Psalm 50, God said, I want to sacrifice all the cattle of 1,000 hills. Belong to me. He said, if I was hungry, he said, I wouldn't even tell you. Because I'm God, and if I was hungry, he said, I'd feed myself. So here he says,
Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with the fowl ram? Okay, the ceremonial part of being saved. Your external actions about being saved. God said, you think I'm pleased with all of that? That you're doing externally? God said, I'm looking way past that. Amen? He said, will the Lord be pleased with the fowl ram or with 10,000 of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body, for the sin, the sacrifice that we think we're making, God said, is not the sacrifice. It's not that you pray. It's not that you fast. He said, you're doing all that, God said, but I still can't hear you because there's a more underlying issue. And the underlying issue is not what you're doing externally. I see you praying. I see you shouting. I see you jumping. God said, I'm not impressed with that because as judge, I see you when nobody else sees you. I hear you when nobody else. God said, I'm going to take it one step further. I know what you're thinking before you even think it. He said, I'm going to go for a little further than that. He said, I know every tongue in your mouth before you even, every word in your tongue before you even form it. So God said, you know what? I know you. You know God knows us. He said, I'm acquainted with not some of your ways, but what? God said, I'm acquainted with all your ways. So the external stuff, God said, I'm not impressed with that. Because I'm looking at the real you. Well, Lord, what is the real me? I'm looking at the part of you that's going to live on forever and eternity. And when I look at that part of you, there's some stuff that ain't right. There's some issues that need to be fixed.
And what about the Lord?
So Somebody said, well, can somebody help you? No, we can't help you because God has already showed you. And the problem in church, we babysit too many saints. Now, we're going to try and help you all step, but we babysit too many saints. Right? You need to babysit them when you can't help yourself. But if God has showed you, why do you need a babysitter? He has shown thee what is good, and he's already shown you what he requires of. So why somebody still got to keep pampering, and trying to get you to do the right thing when God showed you? If you don't answer to God, listen, if they don't answer to God, they're never going to respond to you. If they don't respond, you can babysit all you want. Right? You can do all you want, all your hair fall out. Y'all like that, right? No, I didn't. All your hair fall out, still ain't going to change. You know why? Because you can pampering. And you need to take, listen, all I can do is pray for you and add and tell you, you need to get a hold of God for yourself. Right? So all of us trying to help people, and you can't help them because God has shown them what he requires of them. But they are stiff-necked and stubborn, and they refuse to submit. So you wear yourself out trying to help somebody that God has already shown. He said, well, what did God show me? God showed you that you need to do justly. Justly means justice. It means you have to do what is right. You can't keep doing what is wrong and think that is just. You can't keep walking, talking, and acting on. I was still this. You can't act ungodly. I don't know what we're talking about, Bishop. Somebody was saying, how in the world does a church act like the devil until they got God's spirit? Right? How you got God's spirit? That spirit, read about in Galatians 5. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, long suffering. If there be any glory, if there be any praise, think on these things. Right? Is it supposed to be pure love and represent God? Why do you think about all that other stuff? That ain't God. You got to do justly. You got to love mercy. So you got to do what's right in the eyes of God. Then even when somebody has made you mad, you still got to love. He didn't say you got to show mercy. You got to what? Love mercy. Well, how can I love mercy? Because every day you mess up. And his mercy for us again. So God said, you got to love mercy. And then after you do all that, he said, they just walk humbly before your God. I'm forgetting God because I just want to do it my way. The Lord voice cries unto the city, and the man of wisdom shall see thy name and hear ye the Lord, and who hath appointed it. Are there yet the treasures of wickedness in the house of the wicked, and scant measure that is abominable? Shall I count them pure with wicked balances and with a band of they going through the motions of being saved? God said, but the balances and even their weights are deceitful. And if you go back to Israel, what all the cheaters, everybody's a cheater. They love being cheaters. What cheaters would do is they would have false weights and false balances so they could cheat the people out of money for their own pleasure. God said, wait a minute. I can't count you pure because your balance is wicked. So you're putting all of this ungodly and unrighteousness on the scale, and it is not weighing my righteousness. God said, that is a wicked balance. He said, I cannot count you pure. And then Proverbs 11:1 says, a false balance is an, God hates that abomination. When you say, I'm doing this for God, and don't y'all see me? Now, y'all don't see that. This is for the end of the day. This is right. You don't see me. see, I pray, I do this. No, I'm just so spiritual, and I do all of this.
God says, on the other side of the balance is me. Your balance is false. Right? Because you don't see yourself as God sees you. See, he said, that false balance, that false impression you have of your spirituality, God said, that's an abomination before me.
So I can't count that as pure. That is a wrong balance. He said, even your ways are deceitful. You're using false balances, false ways to try to get righteousness. God said, it does not happen. Amen?
So for the rich men, they are full of violence, and they have themselves speak lies, and their tongue is... I'm just saying what God said. I'm drifting from God. Well, what's the problem? You, there they waited, God, because in the semen, right unto me. Your way might seem all right to you, but he said, when I look at the end of your ways, it's the ways of death. So you appear that, for you, I just got it together. God said, I'm looking past where you are right now. And I see death. Because you're not true to yourself. You're not real. My time is running out, but let me get through this last little bit. Can I get through the last little bit? The problem was the violence, speaking lies, and deceit. If you tell someone, I'm doing something for you, you know, growing up as a kid, this is deceitful. This is deceitful. I told this story, so you heard this before. In our school growing up, we had some greedy guys. They just ate everything they could get their hands on. Right? So, I guess the deceitful people got together and conducted a plan. And in the plan, they brought in all these chocolate chip cookies. And they gave you all these chocolate chip cookies to these greedy guys. They tried to give me some. I said, nah, y'all ain't using that nice. I don't trust the cookies. They said, how can you mess up chocolate chip cookies? I said, I don't know. They ain't using that nice. I said, something's up. I said, all y'all would need them cookies. They ate the cookies anyway. Right? Listen, you just a tree by its fruit. Right? If it's been this way, it ain't gonna change overnight. So all the greedy guys ate those chocolate chip cookies. But those chocolate chips were not chocolate chips. Those chocolate chips were X-Lax. True story. And the teachers are upset because all the boys got to do was run into the bathroom. All day. There ain't nothing you can do that's going to make you go to the bathroom that much. That was deceitful. It looked all right. It didn't even smell good. I guess you didn't smell that X-Lax. Well, I'm just saying, when somebody's character and nature change, ain't a red flag supposed to go up? That's the call, deceitful. Well, that's what happens a lot of times in church. A lot of us are eating some chocolate chip cookies in church because they ain't no chocolate chips. And it keeps us running away from God. You can't learn nothing. Because them chocolate in your cookies are not chips. I want to say that's deceitful. Isn't that deceitful? Isn't that dishonest? And they were just smiling. I told them, I ain't crazy. I said, man, if all y'all, I would eat them cookies. Something wrong with them cookies. They don't ever bring no cookies like this. As long as we know all these girls, they ain't never brought us no food. So I just sit to my regular lunch. I don't want none of y'all's cookies. Well, that's how the devil does us. He makes it look good. But it ain't the real thing. It's deceitful. I ain't gonna get to the sixth chapter of Deuteronomy. Let's finish here. He said, therefore, verse 13, therefore I will make thee sit in
frighten thee, and it made thee desolate because of thy sin. God said, now, because you, he said, I'm pleading with you, I'm trying to get you to do it right. You know, and Micah chapter 6 is something we need to read. Oh, I read it a lot. You know, because I just want to be right in the sight of God.
In Duke's spare time, read Deuteronomy 6, Deuteronomy 8. God tells them before we finish, he said, beware lest thou forget the Lord that brought thee out. That when you live in the houses that you didn't build, when you drink from the vineyards that you did, when you drink from the wells that you did not dig, when you eat from the trees that you did not plant. He said, when thou hast eaten and are full, you're satisfied. He said, beware that you don't forget the Lord thy God. But before that, he said, observe and keep my commandments. He said, teach them to yourselves, teach them to your children and your children's children. He said, in the matter of fact, he said, make them as frontlet between your eyes. Right? And as, I forget the other part of it, but if, what it represented was frontlet between your eyes and something like your wrist or something like that. What? Right in front of you. Take a look at your heart. You know what God said? Meditate on my word day and night. Then you'll be blessed. In our fullness, we're not meditating on God's word anymore because we're now satisfied. Then in the 8th chapter, he tells him, he said, listen, I allow a suffered you to hunger. He said, I allowed you to go through the troubles that you went through to know what was in your heart, whether you will keep my commandments or not. He said, for man must not live by, and some of us are just too consumed with food. But we forget the word of God. Amen. So now that's just that. And then he tells them, he said, when you're so blessed, in this 8th chapter of Deuteronomy, you're so blessed, you feel the blessed. You're blessed with your animals. You're blessed with that. You're blessed with all that. He said, still beware lest you forget the Lord. And you know what the Lord told him? He said, for y'all that think y'all got it all together, I think it's like Deuteronomy 8:14 or 19. He said, then in your blessing, you said, my own power has given me the ability to get what I got. Right, I'm highly, reading Deuteronomy 6:8 for yourself. He said, don't you realize it was God that gave you power to get wealth? It wasn't anything you did. So come back to God. All right, now let's go ahead and let's finish up here. He said, verse 14, thou shalt eat, but not be. Well, you are blessed. You are all right. God said, now, because you wouldn't walk humbly before me, you wouldn't do justly, and I showed you what I required of thee. He said, you didn't even love mercy. Somebody messed up, he said, they got what they deserve. That is not mercy. That is never God. You know, if we all got what we deserve, that's what we would all be. Right? I said, they got what they deserve. Not in church. We're supposed to pray for one another. In church, love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. We need to come back to God. He had already showed us. He said, thou shalt eat and not be satisfied, and thy casting down shall be in the midst of thee, and thou shalt take hold or shalt not deliver, and that which thou delivereth will I give up to the sword. God is speaking. He said, thou shalt sow, but thou, somebody said, I keep doing so much, it just doesn't seem like God is here. Because God has showed you something about yourself, but you didn't respond to what God showed you. He didn't say, God might show you. He said, I have showed you what is good. And what do I require of thee? So because you have not, then God said, he said, I'm pleading with you. So since you haven't pleaded, God said, okay, now, I'm going to just watch. I'm going to leave you in your own perils.
I'm going to leave you in your own situation. So you're going to sow, but you will not
reap.
Thou shalt tread the olive, but thou shalt not anoint thee with. Even the anointing isn't there anymore. Why? Because you have not submitted to God. You have not allowed God to speak to your situation. So even though the anointing can destroy the yoke, you're doing all that, but you don't have no anointing. No more power in your life. Why? God has showed you something. God has shown what he required of you. You know what I like about God? Don't get none of us mixed up. Right? I was in a place one time, it was like 10 different deities. And God didn't mix none of us up. If there's 100 people with your name, God doesn't even mix up. And with 100 of you with the same name, God said, I show you what I required of you. Just do like this. That's for you. God showed you. You don't have to guess. Nobody don't have to tell you. You ain't got to call the pastor, sister, pastor. You don't have to ask nobody's spirit. Because God loves us. He shows you. Those dreams, those hard times, those difficult challenges, God showed you what it means. Now, I'm doing all of this. God, what's wrong? God's been reaching. Right? The Bible says he. I'm going to go to one, let me finish this. We're going to go to one other chapter of scripture. Now, y'all can't get mad, don't come out on Wednesdays because I'm a little longer tonight. Because I usually stay on the course. Right? But if I'm here longer, that means God is trying to reach somebody. Right? So when God is trying to reach people, time has no bounds. I just want to, anybody just want to be right? Anybody want to just be right before God? So I'm going to finish this and go to, I believe it's Proverbs chapter 1, verse 26, all right? So you're going to, thou shalt tread the olive, but shalt not anoint it for, and sweet wine, but thou shalt not drink wine, for the statutes of Omri are kept, and all the works of the house of Ahab, and ye walk in there. Ahab and Omri were two of the worst kings ever in Israel. Ahab was so bad that when the prophet looked at it, he said, wickedness proceeded from the wicked. That's how bad Ahab was. He said, you know what? We can't even say nothing good about him because wickedness proceeded from the wicked. So he said, you're following wicked counsel. How many of us are following the wrong thing? Blessed is the man that walketh not in thee. You're following the wrong counsel. I don't care who they are. I don't care how close they are. There were times my mother and I didn't always agree with everything. That she was right 99.9% of the time. But there had to be a 1.1% time I could not fully agree. Right? Even though she was my mother and I loved her, and most of the things my mother told me was right, I didn't always listen. How didn't always listen? Now my mother said, don't marry. Because you got too many kids. She said, you're a kid yourself. So there were some times my mother was not, and I love my mother. And then later on, my mother used to get mad. She said, how can you even call that? She said, you know I want to call that, right? So there was time you can listen. But then there's some time you got to get to God for yourself. Right? There were others in spiritual counseling positions that said, don't do it. So I had to go to God for myself. So in the end, I couldn't blame nobody. Don't mess up, no, I'll keep going. In the end, I couldn't blame nobody but myself. Right? But if I had listened to all those people, we've been there 5 years? I said, you know. Yeah, 37. We've been married 37 years, right? If I had listened to all those people, then there was one person they wanted me, my spiritual counselors. I don't know who they were. Y'all, don't try to figure out no names. Leave them alone. I just said they wanted me to marry. First the backstage, the next hearing. Right, so I couldn't listen to that counsel. I had to go to God. You better grow up. You need to go to God for yourself. Because counsel enemies, they are on the Lord's side. Matter of fact, I started reading Proverbs over again. I was reading a great person that left a great impact and has left a great impact on society as a whole. And the person said that when things were difficult years ago, they started reading one chapter of Proverbs a day. I said, hey, that's what I used to do. I said, I'm going to go back to that. And the person is renowned now. He said, Paul said, so much wisdom for the Proverbs. Everything for everyday living is in the book of Proverbs. Let's go to verse 22. All right, you can read the rest of this yourself. But verse 22 said, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and scorners delight in scorners, and God's given us knowledge, but how will ye hurt the hated? He says, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit. This is wisdom on God's speaking, because the beginning, God is the beginning of wisdom. So this is wisdom. This is God. God said, I poured out my spirit unto you. He said, but because I have called in ye, is that on the screen? Y'all agree with me? He said, I'm going to read the beginning. When I read, then when I point, I want you to read. He said, I am called and you refuse. This is God speaking to whom? To me. God says, I called and ye refused. He said, I stretched out my hand and you wouldn't even regard me. God, this is who? God speaking. Amen. He said, but you have said it not. God said, all the ways I've tried to bless you and help you, you just turned a deaf ear. Turned off. And with none of mine, God said, I've tried to reach and help you. I've tried to correct the errors of your ways. Amen. Verse 26 says, I will laugh when you're clammy. I will what? When your fear cometh, when your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a when distress and anguish. Somebody said, I'm so messed up. God said, I've been in reach. I've been trying to get you on the right path. I've been, but you know what? You wouldn't even listen to nothing I had to say. Everything I tried to do, you had a reason for why you could not do it. Everywhere I tried to make you say, I'm God, I'm helping you, you had a reason why you had to be you. Yeah, I don't know. That's one saying that you need to change. I don't need to do me. He said, verse 28 said, then shall they call upon me? God said, you know, that's a bad position when you get in. God has been trying to help you for so long. And you just keep doing what you want to do. He said, I will not answer. They shall seek me early. For that they and did not choose fear the Lord. They would, they despise. God said, everything I tried to do to reach you, to help you, you just turned it aside and acted like I wasn't there. He said, therefore they shall be what? Give them food there. You know what he said? All that scheming, those devices mean all that you've been scheming to do. He said, that scheme that you've been scheming for others, God said, that same scheme is a homing pigeon or a boomerang. Every time you throw a boomerang out, it does what? As we all stand. God is reaching out for his people. Are you going to give heed to the counsel? Are you going to turn his reproof? Are you going to let things get so bad? Right? That you just keep forgetting God. God has done so much for me, I just can't tell it all. God has made so many ways for me. Lord, I cannot get so consumed in me as the elders and the ministers come forward. I cannot get so consumed in me and what I want to do, that I turn a deaf ear to the leading of the Spirit of God.
We're in a bad position when we just want to do what we want to do. He has shown thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before your. I wonder tonight, how many of us are walking and realize that we're walking before God? Or do we think we're just here, just coexisting? We're walking before God. Beware lest you forget God. Don't forget God. There's a danger in forgetting. There's a danger in putting anybody before God. Don't forget God.
Amen. Oh,